Second Chronicles chapter 16, we want to draw your attention to some details in this chapter concerning the life of this man Asa. But in verse 12, we read, Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Reading through the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, you are reading different outlooks on a similar period of history. I suppose it's a little bit like a car accident. Individuals may view that car accident in a different light. Somebody may view one detail and some other person may see another detail. Well, the book of Samuel, or the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles really are a little bit like that. They are different outlooks on a similar period of history. Each of these books focus on the time from the reign of King David and King Solomon right through to the Babylonian exile with the nation of Judah. However, there are some differences in the books. While Samuel and Kings deal with both the kingdoms of Israel and also the kingdom of Judah, the book of Chronicles, which we're looking at this evening, primarily only deals with the southern tribe or southern nation, the nation of Judah. Whenever you read through Chronicles and you see reference perhaps to Israel, well, you'll always notice that it was always in relation to the nation of Judah. Another interesting difference between the books is that Chronicles seems to clean up the reputation of the majority of the kings of Judah. It seems to skip past, or it seems to almost neglect the unsavory incidents in some of the kings of Israel and of Judah. For example, if you were to read through the book of Kings, you will discover that David, he fell tragically. However, if you read through 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles rather, you will discover that that incident is not even mentioned in the book. Also, if you were to read the account of Solomon solely from the, or through the lenses of the book of Chronicles, you would fail to see that he lost his way towards the end of his life. And so the reason for this was simple. The book of Kings and the books of Samuel, well, they were written much earlier than the book, the books of Chronicles. The books of Chronicles were written looking back at a time whenever the children of Israel did not want to remember their past failures, did not want to record the failures of their kings, didn't want to remember their falls into sin and their mistakes, and how time after time the kings of Judah, they made that mistake of worshipping at the altars of Baal instead of looking to the Lord. They were coming to return to the land. They were going to rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so the last thing really that they wanted to remember was the failures of their past kings. But all of this is the more stark when you consider the information on King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It seems as if the Holy Spirit, he is singling out King Asa and the mistake that he made towards the end of his life. And it's as if the Holy Spirit is saying, we need to pay attention to this. Because here we find it honing in. Here we find the Holy Spirit zooming in on these mistakes that Asa made towards the end of his earthly pilgrimage. King Asa ascended the throne of Judah after the reign of Abijah. Now King Asa enjoyed, for the most part, a spiritually productive reign. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the altars of idolatry. He cut down the altars of Baal. He even rid the land of Judah of Sodomites exclusively. He also repaired the altar of God, and he called the people together and entered into a fresh covenant with the Lord. Oh, he had done much to reform the land and the landscape of Judah. However, whilst he had done much to reformed the land, yet we find there was this mistake that he made, this horrendous, this terrible mistake he made at the end of his reign. King Baasha, the king of Israel, was coming up against him. He had encamped on the border between Israel in the north and Judah in the south. He had encamped in an area called Ramah. And there he is, he's about to storm Judah. Remember that the north of Israel, it comprised really 10 tribes, and the southern territory, it comprised of two. Just Judah and Benjamin brought together. So they were far superior in terms of numbers. And here's King Asa. And he has sought the Lord through the majority of his life. He has seen God intervene through the majority of his life. But sadly, he makes this mistake. What does he do? Well, verse 12 tells us, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. He didn't seek the Lord for intervention as he had previously done. And what did the Lord do? Well, the Lord comes, he singles out King Asa, and he gives him this terrible disease in his feet. And he, as it were, punishes and he judges King Asa for his sin. He does this in the 39th year of his reign. And sadly, just 2 years later, after being smitten with this disease in his feet that greatly hampered and hindered his walk for the remainder of his life, just 2 years later, I want you to get this, just 2 years later, after being smitten with this disease in his feet, King Asa disappears off the scene of time. King Asa, he dies in his 41st year of his reign. And like Asa, whilst it's one thing to have performed reformation, it is another thing to experience regeneration. The two are not the same. You see, like Asa, you could do much tonight to reform the landscape of your life. You can make changes. You can make alterations. Outwardly speaking, you can say, well, I'll give up this, and I'll cease doing that, and I'll be more faithful in the other. But like King Asa, if you've still got a heart that wants to make a league with this world, because that's what he did, he made a covenant, a league with the king of Syria, if you have a heart that hankers after this world, then the chances are that you have never experienced regeneration. And we looked what that was this morning, how God raises that which is dead into newness of life. It comes through the new birth, where God implants a new principle of spiritual life into the soul of an individual. And so tonight the question is, which have you experienced? Have you experienced that new heart, which Jeremiah 24 verse 7 speaks about? I give them a heart to know me, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Have you experienced that new heart? Yes, there will always be the pull of the world, but have you got that heart that wants to war against the world? Or tonight, are you still found making a league with it? Entering into a covenant with it? Loving to pledge allegiance to the world? I know tonight if you've done that, well, all of your reformation, outwardly speaking, it is but vain. Which have you experienced? A new heart where the change is from the inside out? Or has it merely been outward reformation? Has it merely just been the cleansing of the outside of the cup? Or have you experienced a new heart? Here's King Asa. There was much commendable about him. And he had done much to reform the land. Oh, but at the end of his life, he failed to seek the Lord. And he was given a deadly disease in his feet. And so tonight we want to think about King Asa, the king with bad feet. The king with bad feet. I want you to notice firstly with me the affliction he encountered. The affliction he encountered, verse 12. We read, Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. The word disease here, it means more than a sickness or an ailment that we would think of today. It carries with it the thought of excruciating pain and weakness through that pain. Verse 10, we read, Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of the king. Whenever King Asa was in this difficulty, whenever the king of Judah, or king of Israel, King Baasha, was coming to storm the land, coming to storm King Judah, of course we have already discovered that Asa, he didn't seek the Lord. Rather, he made a league with the Syrians. And there was a seer or a prophet that was raised up against him. And he said to him, look, you have done this and you were completely wrong to do that, Asa. And what did Asa do? And this shows the heart of the man. What did he do? He took this prophet, he took this seer, and he threw him in prison. Now the verse 10, which tells us about this, where he was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, that phrase there, put him in a prison house, in the Hebrew, it seems to suggest something a little bit more specific. It seems to suggest that he chained his feet. Now all of this is the more stark. When you think about what happened to Asa just after he had thrown this man in prison and he had chained his feet, because we read that he then experienced a disease or a pain or a sickness in his feet. There was some form of disease that came upon his feet, and it firstly impacted his joints, and it seems that he lost strength and the ability to be able to walk. Now, if you were paying attention, you'll notice something else about this disease. Whilst it impacted him in the 39th year, we read there in verse 12, until his disease was exceeding great. Exceeding great. So what does that show you? That shows you that whilst this disease started in Asa's feet and it impacted his walk, it became great. Or it increased. Or as the word in the Hebrew, exceeding, can also sometimes be translated as upwards. In other words, you could read it or understand it like this. It became upwardly great. Most Bible commentators are agreed that this is what happened. That whilst the disease started off in Asa's feet, it spread up through his entire body. And in the space of 2 years, it actually raised to the very top of his body, and it riddled through all of his organs. It contaminated his entire body, and it even impacted his brain. What I'm saying to you is this, that whilst the affliction, it firstly started in his feet and impacted his walk, every limb and every organ, every facet and faculty of his body was then subsequently affected. And where sin contaminates, sin then controls. It affects every part of your being. Oh, tonight you need to see yourself like King Asa. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, whenever we are born, how are we born? We are born, spiritually speaking, with diseased feet. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean this. We are born with the inability to walk with God. And sin, it gets into our lives, and like this deadly disease, it came into King Asa's life. And what does sin do? Well, it contaminates. It completely dominates every part of us, both body and spiritually as well. And so you can do much that is right, like King Asa. You can try and keep the law. You can try and read the law. But in God's sight, the Bible, it's very, very clear that sin, it gets into the heart and it spreads. It dominates your choices, your affections, and even your attitude. It affects everything about you. That's what it means to be totally depraved, to be totally sinful. Romans 8, verse 8. We read, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And if you read Romans 8, you'll discover that there is a contrast between those who are in the flesh and those who are in the Spirit. Really, the contrast is this. Those who have the Spirit of God and those who do not have the Spirit of God. And it refers to them as being in the flesh. In other words, it's the saved and the unsaved. Because we receive the Spirit of God at salvation. And so what does Paul state to the church at Rome there? He states this. If you're in the flesh, if you haven't the Spirit of God, in other words, if you're still in your sin and you are still depraved before the Lord, well, the Bible, it makes it clear, you cannot please God. You can't please Him. Why? because you're stricken with the inability to walk with God, to keep His precepts, to live in the light of His commandments, to obey God's law perfectly. You are completely unable to do this. Just as Asa was unable to walk physically and it affected every part of his faculty, so spiritually, that's how we all are before God. To make this very clear and plain, Psalm 58 verse 3 states, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Now the phrase "go astray" in the Hebrew, it means to walk on the wrong path. What does that mean? It means when we're born, we are born as estranged or strangers from the womb. And when we are born, we walk on the wrong path in life. You see, where sin corrupts, sin then cripples. It renders you unable to walk the paths of righteousness. Oh, tonight, like Asa, you need the help of another. You need to seek after God and Jesus Christ to enable you to walk. Oh, sometimes people get mixed up in free will. And they say, well, I have the choice. I'm going to make the choice to walk with God. And whilst God gives you freedom to choose this and to choose to do something, yet I say, because of your sinful and depraved nature, never experiencing regeneration, you will always choose that which is sinful. Even when you choose to do that which is good, as Paul says in Romans 7, there will be evil present within. It will always be dominated with a sinful motive. Oh, I'm going to do this and that's good, but there will always be the sinful motive behind. Now, why is that? Well, because spiritually we're all like King Asa. We have bad feet, spiritually speaking. And we are unable to walk with God. And because of that, sin then dominates and it permeates through your entire being. You think of a drunkard. The policeman comes to the drunkard and he says to the drunkard, I want you to walk in a straight line just to prove that you're not drunk. Of course, the drunkard does that, tries to do it, and he staggers all over the place. Now, if the drunkard hasn't got the alcohol in his system, as long as everything is right and he's compos mentis, well, he'll be able to walk a straight line. Why is it? Why is it that the drunkard cannot walk the straight line that the policeman has asked him to? Well, it's because of this. It's because of the substance within him that is dominating his choices. And tonight we all have a substance within that dominates our choices. And it's sin. And it cripples us. And it renders us incapable to walk with God. My, here's King Asa. He had a terrible affliction that came to him at the end of his life. There was the affliction he encountered. I want you to see secondly here, the assets he employed. The assets he employed. Verse 2, we read, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. When you read through Kings, the account of Asa's life, you'll discover that in the early years of his dynasty and life, he seemed to always seek the face of God. Whenever there was a problem that came along, well, Asa, he was always found looking to the Lord for help and for grace. However, something changes. Something is now changed here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Here trouble comes. It comes in the form of King Baasha, who at this time was the king of Israel. But Asa's response is different. Verse 1 tells us that Baasha, he's encamped in Ramah. And he's on the border there of Judah. And it seems as if he's going to come and he's going to storm Judah. And here's Asa and he's petrified of the possible outcome. So what does he do? Well, rather than seeking the Lord, as he has done previously in his earlier years, well, he decides, I'll fix this my own way. And he sends to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and he tries to appease him. And he actually takes gold and silver from the house of God, and he sends it to Ben-Hadad, and he basically says this, look, if I get into difficulty, will you come and will you be my ally? He tries, what is he trying to do? He is using assets to try and buy peace. That's what he's doing. He's trying to use gold and use silver to procure and secure peace in this situation. However, because of this choice that he made, I want you to see this now. I want you to really grasp this. Verse 9 says there that the Lord said he would have wars continually. So because of this fateful choice, and not looking to the Lord in his time of trouble, and trying to buy peace by sending gold and silver to Ben-Hadad, the Lord punishes him by saying you're going to have wars continually. In other words, throughout the remainder of your earthly existence, you'll not enjoy peace. You'll not enjoy peace. He thought that he could buy peace, but in actual fact, whilst he thought this, he ended up having no peace the rest of his life. You see, whilst money can procure many things under God, it cannot secure peace with God. It cannot cover nor forgive sin. Maybe you're here this evening, and like King Asa, there's been a fix that's come into your life. There's been a difficulty, an affliction, some form of trial. What's the Lord doing? He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, look, you seek after me. You think of the account of Manasseh, and that's exactly what happened. He lived most of his life not even thinking about God. But then the Lord brought affliction into his life, and we read there that when he was in affliction, he sought after the Lord. And that's what the Lord does in affliction, even to believers as well. He brings trials in your life. What is he doing? He wants you to seek after him. But tonight, maybe it finds you, rather than seeking after the Lord for grace and for mercy, you're trying to buy peace with God, trying to make an allegiance or a league with somebody else. You're trying to concoct your own sense of peace with God. But money, whilst it is good, if we use it lawfully, it cannot forgive sin. It cannot cleanse sin because it does not appease God's wrath. Salvation, what is it? It's a gift from God. Something given through Jesus Christ and his cross work to you, the sinner. And so whenever you try and buy salvation, what you're really doing is you're saying, I know better than you, God. I know the price that has been paid by Jesus Christ to secure my redemption. I see it there, but what I'm trying to do, well, it's better than that. And you're trying to buy salvation. What are you trying to do that this evening? Trying to buy that which cannot be bought. Oh, do not try and buy your salvation. You know, there are many individuals who, in Scripture, tried to buy out peace or bargain with God. One individual, let you think about this evening, Acts chapter 8. There you read in verse 18 of a man called Simon. And we read there, when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. Now listen to this. He offered them money. He saw the great miracles that the apostles were doing. And remember, at this time, Simon had already gone through the waters of baptism. And he saw the great miracles that they could do. And he saw the tremendous power that the Holy Ghost had given Simon. What did he do? He offered them money. He said, can I have this? I want this wonderful power for myself. And he tried to buy the power of God through money. Yet verse 20, what do we read? Peter said to him, that Simon, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Peter said, your money perish with you. The gift of God, it's a gift. It cannot be bought with money. Of course, there's that wonderful, great gospel invitation in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, him that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come all those that have no money. Why? Because salvation is free. It's without money and it's without price. You see, while salvation is without price, it is also beyond price. You cannot purchase salvation. The price has already been paid to secure your salvation this evening. And that's the cross work of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 And I believe it's either verse 19 or 20 says this, ye were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. And that is the royal blood of Jesus Christ. That's the currency of salvation. Oh, tonight, don't make the mistake of King Asa and try to offer money to buy that which you cannot buy. Oh, salvation, it has already been paid in full for you. You need to simply embrace it by faith, embrace Jesus Christ, and look to Him for your salvation. Rockefeller said, I have made many millions, but they have brought me no peace. I know tonight you can make your millions. You could even make billions. But they'll not bring you peace with God. All money can be used for many things. But it cannot be used to purchase salvation. You men, you love a bargain, don't you? We all love a bargain. You love whenever you're selling cattle or perhaps selling sheep. You love to negotiate the price on something. Well, you can negotiate the price in many things, but you cannot negotiate the price of salvation. That is one thing that is non-negotiable. God has set the price, and we cannot purchase or procure salvation with money. So there was the affliction he encountered, and there was the assets that he employed. I want you to see lastly here the anger he experienced. Verse 13, we read that Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. He experienced this terrible affliction in his 39th year. 39th year of his reign, not the 39th year of his life, the 39th year of his reign. He didn't seek after the Lord. He didn't seek to Him for intervention in this situation with the king of Israel that's coming to storm Judah. He didn't seek after God. And the Lord brings a terrible affliction. He brings a disease into his feet. And it quickly spreads and permeates throughout his entire being. And oh, how sad these words. Just 2 years later, you do the math. 39th year of his reign, he experiences this disease, but in the 140th year, verse 13 tells us that he died in the 140th year of his reign. He died 2 years later. What does that suggest to you and to me as we close? It suggests this, that he was given 2 years to seek after the Lord. And it seems from reading this account, and from the pages of Holy Scripture closing in his life, it seems that he never learned from his mistake. And he had a bad finish. And the Lord comes, and the Lord closes the pages of history on this man with this large and huge question mark looming over his life. Oh, what a question mark to leave hanging. Tonight you're still impacted and infiltrated by the terrible affliction and disease of sin. The Lord wants you to seek after Him. Don't leave your life like King Asa. Don't leave a large question mark looming over whether you sought after the Lord. Or like this man. We didn't really take time to look at it tonight. Our time is gone. But he sought after physicians. Sought the help of astrologers, those who were engaged in the dark arts. Doesn't mean doctors. It has a much more darker and sinister meaning to it, this word physicians. And tonight, don't make that mistake. Don't look to other things. Don't look to leagues here on earth and agreements here on earth. But seek after the Lord. Ere you leave a large and a looming question mark over your salvation. Asa, the king, with bad fate. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts and lives this evening.